introduce myself. I am Sally Beaton, or Sarah Beaton, either one, and I am a researcher at the Loveless Clinic Foundation in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we collaborate with the Loveless Health System, which is an integrated delivery system with a health plan and a delivery system and a medical group. And this project, we collaborated with United Biosource and Santa Fe of Venice, who was our sponsor, and did a study looking at cardiometabolic risk factors with a sample of health plan members at the Loveless Health Plan. And what you see there is a picture of Albuquerque one evening with the full moon behind the mountains, just to intrigue you. And cardiometabolic risk, as most everyone has heard, is a cluster of risk factors which increase your risk of developing diabetes and cardiovascular disease. And frequently you hear the term metabolic syndrome, which defines a set of these clusters. But in this study, we used risk factors which were also different from some of the typical metabolic syndrome definitions, and so we're referring to it as cardiometabolic risk factors as opposed to metabolic syndrome here. And most of the definitions include some combination of abdominal obesity, hypertension, hyperglycemia, and dyslipidemia. And because there's so much concern about increasing health costs and overweight leading to diabetes and cardiovascular disease, we felt that this was an important study for us to look at, especially with the considerations for cost in our health plan. So we essentially were looking at, we had two objectives here: to first understand and quantify the prevalence of the cardiometabolic risk factors in both Hispanic and non-Hispanic health plan members. And New Mexico is a little unusual. We have 40% Hispanic population in New Mexico, and even though our health plan does not gather ethnicity data, we use a software program that was developed at the University of New Mexico for the specific purpose of identifying people through surname. And it's not perfect, but it's been validated and is about 85 to 95% valid for Hispanic females. We also were looking at differences in two-year healthcare costs of cardiometabolic risk factors, and we were trying to identify differences with the group of people that had cardiometabolic risk factors and then a control group that did not, and then we were also looking at Hispanic and non-Hispanic differences. This was a retrospective database design. We used data from the health plan, administrative electronic data, for the years 2003-2004. And in order to be eligible for the study, we needed to have a measure for each individual of BMI, triglycerides, HDL, blood pressure, and fasting plasma glucose during those 2 years, during the study time. And the subjects were between the ages of 21 and 89, and they were continuously enrolled during the study period. We used a sample of convenience. We had done a previous study using bone mineral density data and discovered that in these data there were height and weight measures electronically. And so we decided to, since we were looking for measures of BMI, we decided to use this group of people. And since it was 91% female, we only used the females in this particular sample and calculated BMI for this group of people. We then linked it to the other four measures of HDL, LDL, blood pressure, and glucose, and ended up with a sample of 2578 people with all five risk factor measures. And you see the demographics. There were, for the mean age Hispanic and percent who were smokers, the percent Hispanic, I just got through telling you that we have 40% Hispanics in New Mexico, and this was a slightly older group of people. Our average age is usually about 51 or 2 or something like that, and there are fewer Hispanic older women in our population, and so this was typical of what we find with older our older sample of health plan members. And this table shows you how we identified the risk factors and defined the criteria for what was abnormal for each of our risk factors. And so obesity, we used BMI greater than or equal to 27. And then for some of the other measures, we used clinical values or ICD-9 codes or pharmacy fills or a combination of all of those. And you can see how they were defined. HDL was less than 50. Triglycerides, the criteria we used was 100 greater than or equal to 150, or a two or more ICD-9 codes of increased triglycerides. Hypertension was defined as systolic greater than or equal to 130 or diastolic greater than or equal to 85, or the ICD-9 codes or a combination of codes and fills for treatment medication. And fasting glucose was greater than or equal to 100. And then we also categorized people with diabetes with all of the methods that you see below. What we did next was to take our actually six factors, it was five plus the one of diabetes, and classify them into different groupings. And the first two, the INSEP and the IDF, International Diabetes Foundation, are typical definitions for metabolic syndrome. And all six of these actually involve abdominal obesity or obesity, except for the first one. The first one is defined as having three or more risk factors, and the second one is three or more risk factors where one of them is obesity, and then the others, you can see, they all involve obesity and then some combination of either diabetes or dyslipidemia or both. So the next thing we did was to categorize people into cases versus controls. And for all six of our groupings, you were a case if you met the criteria for that definition. And if you did not meet it, you were a control. So each of the groupings had a separate number of cases and controls. Although for some of our analyses, we did use a number which was the total number of cases, and then those who, and the total number of cases was anybody that had a risk factor for any of the definitions, and the controls were people who did not have any. And the costs, we used outpatient, inpatient, ER, lab, radiology, other procedures, and medications, and then we combined for the total cost for the two-year study period. And we looked at odds ratios for the two-year prevalence, comparing Hispanic with non-Hispanic, and we used linear modeling to look at Hispanic and non-Hispanic costs and also to look at age, ethnicity, and cardiometabolic risk factors. And we ended up with 1,446 cases and 1,132 controls if we used the total picture of people who had met the criteria for any of the definitions. And the average age was about the same for both groups. There were more Hispanics than non-Hispanics, and there were a few more smokers than non-smokers. The prevalence results show that the Hispanics had significantly higher prevalence rates than non-Hispanics, 65.8 to 52.3, and patients overall with cardiometabolic risk factors had higher total costs than those with no cardiometabolic risk factors, and you can see the range of costs for those with the risk factors and those without. We also looked at Hispanics versus non-Hispanics, and non-Hispanics actually had higher costs than the Hispanics, and you can see there's not quite as big a difference between the two, but we also found that both ethnicities had higher costs when diabetes was involved. And our conclusions are that the higher prevalence rates for Hispanics, that's consistent with earlier studies, and the higher costs points to the fact that this is a good thing for HMOs to identify and monitor patients to see if they can have some kind of effect to prevent prevent diabetes or prevent cardiovascular disease. And also for the higher cost for non-Hispanics sort of points to the possibility of underutilization of healthcare resources, and we believe that we should explore the cultural diversity as it relates to these risk factors. And that's it.